welcome back to Cinema Vino. This is our next part in our final part in our baseball series. Part six.
Ultimate baseball movie.
Part six of six.
Bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We've had
bases loaded.
Yep. We've had quite a variety of movies, and we wrap it up with a kid-friendly movie from the early 90s.
Oh.
I believe I saw this one in the theater.
I did too.
Yep.
I did not.
Sean was just
Sean
a little baby.
Barely born.
Little baby.
At this
couldn't
time.
Even hold the baseball.
Yep. Rookie of the Year is this one. Classic 90s movie. So at the end of the wave, Taylor had a good call of after the strike, baseball movies kind of dried up. It kind of killed the mystique of the baseball movie because it became clear that it's just a business. I feel like basketball and the strike that happened kind of killed that too for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it just puts an ugly stain on the sport.
You know, and I thought NFL referees were a really beautiful art until they had their strike. And, you know, that just ruined everything.
That really hurt football big time.
Yeah. And then
I don't know if you guys are telling jokes or not. I don't know sports.
Yeah. And then they turned into glorified Foot Locker employees after that.
Yeah.
You know, just not the same.
Yeah. I mean, what does that whistle even stand for anymore?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Rookie of the Year, released July 9th, 1993. Thomas Ian Nicholas, who a lot of people will recognize from the American Pie series, played Finch, I believe, in those movies.
Wasn't Finch. That was the...
We might need to Google this, but he was definitely an American Pie.
He played the most boring member
of
the
guy. Yeah, he was the worst character.
But well, let's just call him Rowan Gardner.
Yeah, Ranamaka.
Gardner.
Ranamaka.
Which we do need to catalog all the different names in the movie that we can think of.
You just heard him. Regan Fraga. There it is. That's all of them.
So real simple synopsis, just like Major League. This is a very simple movie.
Who all do we have here today?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, we know who we are.
I don't know who we are.
Sean Jordan is here. Taylor Owens is here. Hey. Travis Budd is here. And I'm Todd Wofford.
What are we drinking?
So some of us are drinking the wine. I'm doing
the
Lefty Rosé.
Yeah.
Kevin. His name is Kevin in American
Pie. Okay. Who is Finch?
Even a terrible name.
Finch was a shipwreck, I think.
He's the guy that banged Stifler's mom.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I'm doing the Lefty Rosé. Very peach heavy, I think. Very fruit forward rosé.
Very fruity. Very, very fruity.
It is a French rosé. Nice, like golden, you know, pinkish golden color to it.
Yeah.
is it possible it's a typo if it's a French rosé and it's not Lefty? It's actually Lefty. Lefty.
And I picked this because I'm left-handed. I know Taylor's left-handed. I don't know if either of you guys are left-handed, but
I'm a righty. I bat lefty though.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm a righty, but I fap lefty.
Ah, the stranger.
The more you know.
Yeah, make sure you Google that. Pick lefty just for that reason. It hit close to home. Commonly, you'll see left-handed pitchers in baseball. Left-handed players can play fewer parts in baseball, but they play very significant.
I was going to say they're very important players.
Yeah. Yeah.
First base and pitcher.
Pitcher, and then you'll see them in the outfield quite a bit. A lot of famous left-handed outfielders.
Really? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really have an impact on your outfield play.
No.
It's just sort of if you're left-handed, they don't want you at second, shortstop, or third.
Or catcher. Even though I had a left-handed catcher's mitt growing up, believe it or not. Huh. I don't know how my dad came across that, but I had no interest in playing catcher at all. And of course, no sensible coach, like you say, would ever put a left-handed person behind the plate. But
unless you're facing a lot of lefties. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, Travis, left-handed people.
We need a pitcher, not an underwear snitcher.
God, such a great line.
I know.
So left-handed people are different for baseball because if they're at first base, they're actually catching with their right hand, which means that they can have their right hand extended toward the field and have their left foot on the base. Whereas if you're right-handed, your glove is on the left hand and then you're trying to your back is to the field and you're trying to catch with your left. It's very awkward.
Yeah. Mm. I'd imagine.
Yeah. So Thomas E. Nicholas plays Henry Rowengardner. Freak injury, you know, he gets some tight tendons in his throwing arm, and as a result of that injury, he's about, what would you say, 12 years old, 13 years old?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to impress a girl, falls on a baseball.
Yeah.
He is able to...
as old as time.
Yep.
funky butt loving.
He is able.
Funky butt loving.
That's the first quote I think of for this movie, by the way.
Yeah.
That one.
Yep.
Is he's able to suit up with the Chicago Cubs and, you know, of course, spoiler alert, gradually becomes one of the star players for the Cubs.
Star pitcher.
Star pitcher, yeah.
Yeah.
You he can, did he
you
did
can
bat.
Figure that out from the damn
he,
movie poster.
He did bat once.
I think
he got on base.
One of the I just made this connection just now. One of the people at our table here has met one of the stars of Rookie of the Year.
Yes. I put that together watching this film.
What? Oh, yeah. Gary Busey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor has met Gary Busey.
Oh, you mean GB? Taylor's met Rocket.
Yeah. Are his teeth as big in real life?
And bigger. And, of course, this was a couple years ago.
I'm just going to pause this, and Taylor, just take it away.
Oh, this was, I was somehow able to get onto a football field, and I don't even know why, and I will say this was the prestigious Oklahoma State University. For some reason,
OSU,
they were honoring Gary Busey for what, I don't know, but they were honoring him for something, and I happened to get onto the field, and we walked by, and I was like, fuck this. I'm going to go talk to him. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, like, touched his shoulder, and I was like, hey, man. I was like, just want to say, I like your stuff. And he's like, well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. And some girl walked by, and he's like, oh, man, look at that over there. And I was like, yeah, I see that, Gary. And I was like, that's a girl. And but I told him that actually my favorite, I said, man, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay, let me preface this whole thing. I had been drinking excessively, so my vision's a little, you know, my memory's a little blurry at this time, but
yeah.
I told him my favorite, I said, I got to tell you, my favorite film, or my favorite scene of you ever, is from Scrubs. And he was like, what? And I was like, that one scene you did in Scrubs, where you pretend like you were Sarah Chalky, and I was like, you were that character? I was like, I don't know why I loved it. And he's like, man, I was there for like one day. Or he said something like this. He was so shocked that I said that that was my favorite scene of him. No. And then I have a few pictures, we hugged it out, and then I went on and kept drinking.
Actually, yeah, Taylor, but he looked very excited to see you. But then again, I remember his smile, and he always looks very excited.
Yeah, yeah. We
he has a certain mania.
Todd, I'll send you
him.
A picture. But we talked, and I'll be honest, I cannot quite remember what that conversation was. But we talked for a long time.
Neither does he.
Yeah. No.
Gary
yeah.
doesn't remember
yeah.
it either.
Yeah. Same level.
I forgot I met Ron.
Did you call him Gary or Mr. Busey?
I called him Gary. I did not show any. I did not show any respect.
Excuse
hey,
me.
Like, hey, Gary. Yeah. I really was. I just kind of touched his shoulder. I was like, "Hey, Gary." Hey. And he was like, "Hey, what's going on?"
Hey, Gary Bear. I think if there's somebody you could pull that off with, it'd be Gary Busey.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't give me his number.
Is he from Oklahoma?
He is a Tulsa native.
Yep.
Yeah. Is he really?
Nope.
Again, wow. And I still don't know why they. Because I don't think he even went to OSU, but they just honored him.
They gave him an award for still being alive.
Yep, I think so.
He said he wanted to come by, and they were like, honor. Fuck mm-hmm. yeah. You're going to say no to Gary Busey?
Yeah.
I think Gary Busey called them and was like, I want to be honored. Yeah. And they were like, okay.
I'm going to your game. You better bestow an award on me.
Now,
what's his son name? Oh, Jake Busey.
Jake Busey.
Yeah, it was in Frighteners and several
Starship
like
Troopers.
Tomcats, Starship Troopers.
Apparently, Gary's late brother was a Tulsa musician who a lot of people know.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's where we are.
Yeah.
We know Larry? A lot of people. Larry Busey?
I'm trying to think of what his name was.
That's a joke. I don't actually know.
Oh, man, I should know this. But, yeah, he had his brother was a musician because we know a lot of people who know him and talked about him.
We watched Frighteners for one of our very first podcasts. Mm-hmm. I mean, not one of our first.
One of our very early ones, yeah.
Early ones, yeah, because Taylor hadn't seen it before. But, yeah, that's right. Jake Busey was the main bad guy in that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I would say my favorite Busey movie is Ginger Dead Man.
Which was that the one where he hides in the attic?
That's Hider in the House, and okay. I want to see it.
That's the one where he is a reincarnated serial killer who comes back as a gingerbread man.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah. Pencil those in for Halloween this year.
Hell yeah.
So he goes to play for the Cubs, as we mentioned. Gary Busey is the aging star pitcher, Chet Stedman, the Rocket, who the boys all idolize. Henry and his friends, his two buddies. And incidentally, this is a good indication of how much me and parents changed my view of watching movies, where it's like, who is going to let their kids ride on the Chicago L train
locker room
by themselves,
yep.
go to a ball game in the, you know, fairly rough part of Chicago by themselves? Not me.
There are a lot of parental gaps in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean...
Hey, and one of the Wet Bandits from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the voice in Wonder Years. I don't remember his name.
Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern. And I just remember his line where he's like, come observation, Henry, and he gets locked.
Hot ice.
Oh my God, he is such a great character actor.
I love him so much.
Whatever they paid him, I told Joe this last night.
It's not enough.
What, like his salary, $100,000, it's like you got $100,000 worth of acting on the dot out of him. If it was $1 million, that's what you got.
Well, he's just shoving seeds into his mouth until he actually starts choking.
Because it's only as you get older, you're like, oh man, that's great. But then you like really begin to appreciate the weird, like random, like side stuff.
Just the faces that he's holding.
I love his performance more every time I see it.
Well, and he was, I guess he was right in the middle of that Home Alone thing.
Wonder Years.
Yeah, it was because like was Home Alone like 92?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he must have been like living that high life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just picture the director behind the camera like, okay, Daniel, bug your eyes out more. More. Bug them out more.
Can you make your face a little more sideways? Perfect.
He had a camp movie where he, like, I thought that was his main vehicle. He's, like, been very popular and everything else, and it just did not. I think it was Camp Nowhere.
Yeah.
Something like that. Oh, it didn't take off. Yeah. I never got to see it, but I was like, oh, I'd take a look at that.
Yeah. But yeah, I was gonna say like there are moments where it almost felt like he was in a different movie, like when he was like behind by himself in the locker room or locked in the closet or whatever. It's like,
yeah.
Daniel Stern's almost doing his whole different movie by himself over here, and I love it.
He's locked between the suite doors.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I will say there was a moment I think in Chicago where I accidentally like stepped into the closet thinking I was leaving the front door, so that possibly could have happened to me. I don't know if those things are locked from the outside, but I could have potentially been locked in my own closet. Ooh. So,
you know, going back to Taylor's run-in with Gary Busey, you know, the titular character, the Rookie of the Year, he has come to Tulsa to pitch a first pitch for the Tulsa Drillers.
Really?
Yeah.
How did the pitch go?
It was fine. Okay. Yeah. I was there. I saw it happen. But I know he has since done the same thing for the Cubs a couple times. Yeah. I think it's a nice little gimmick he does. I don't think he does a lot of acting these days.
No.
Can I also say just the sound effects of like near the end Gary Busey of Rocket like throwing out his arm, like whatever crunches or weird,
this movie has a lot of body sounds.
It haunts me to this day.
Yeah.
I'll say it like that.
Yeah. Gary Busey's Chet Stedman. Daniel Stern is the pitching coach. I would say somewhat eccentric pitching coach for the team. I don't remember. I have to look up the actor's name. I should have written it down. The manager. He's been in several movies. He was in Malcolm X as one of Malcolm's like early advisors. That's the first thing I think of him as like the guy who converts Malcolm X to Islam in Spike Lee's movie. Great actor. Very different this part. You know, much more comedic, obviously.
It's a pinch different.
I've noted that many of the movies we've watched feature historically unlucky clubs. That's like because baseball is the American pastime and Americans love an underdog.
People love an underdog.
Yeah.
Although I will say, as of today, do you know the four winningest teams in the MLB this season are the two teams in LA and the two teams in New York?
Yeah.
Fuck you guys, coastal teams.
Okay. The janitor guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first baseman.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I do have a couple questions. We'll get to those in a minute. But yeah, Indians, Cubs, the Durham Bulls. It's like, you know, a lot of these teams have been run down that we've watched.
And who
A's?
Who do they play in these?
They play the Mets.
They play the powerhouse.
They play the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I will say, going back to our last movie's podcast, I don't think they actually won the World Series at the end of their movie. They just won the pennant, which is just they won their division.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, that's true.
Baby steps.
I mean, it's a low bar.
Yeah, it was. It was the pennant. Yeah.
But the
weird
thing is, I think it was the same thing for this movie too. Right at the end, spoilers. They beat the Mets to win.
Yeah.
The division or the league, right? They don't actually win the World Series, but then at the end he holds up his fist, which has a World Series ring on it.
Yeah.
Which implies that they went on to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Why did they not show them winning the World Series?
Yeah. That's something that could have been solved in a montage.
If they had given us a montage, like a playoff montage, I would have loved it. But no, they just like, they won like the regular season.
Look, they didn't have enough time. He had to go on to film the kid in King Arthur's court.
You're right.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Also, is it just me? Or was Henry Rowan Gardner's mom in this. Kind of hot.
Kind of smoking.
Look, she got the she got the goober dude, and then she got Rocket.
Bruce Altman.
Yeah.
Jack Bradfield.
Man, that's a douchey name.
Jack Bradfield?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor Jack. You call old Jack Bradfield down at Taft Insurance and then ask for Bill Durham.
Was it implied, yeah, later on that she got the Rocket?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she got the Rocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
She
yeah.
got rocketed.
Yeah.
You got red rocketed.
She got Stedman.
That's Yikes. A strong arm. Even at half strength, that's still a strong arm.
Do me a favor, honey. Don't call me Rocket.
Gary Busey is bizarrely cast as the love interest in this film. I can't think of another movie.
I thought that was a peculiar choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen him as the love interest. Usually he's the other way around. He's the one that women are running from in the movies.
Yeah.
Like actively fleeing.
Imagine, like, if there had been a kissing scene in this, like, I would be frightened.
Yeah.
Do you think his teeth would eat her teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be.
It was a teeth off.
That's like a donkey eating an apple.
I mean, what if
all love to Gary Busey.
What if you saw like a tongue come out in that situation?
Is there one?
Would this be an R-rated movie at that point?
Oh. So was this? It would happen. So was this also like the height of Gary Busey? Because wasn't he coming off Point Break at this time? That was 91.
Yeah,
91.
Yeah.
So he was riding the high life.
Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the year. This was like the early 90s and 80s, just Busey time.
And I told my wife, I said Gary Busey was nominated for an Academy Award, believe it or not, for
Point Break was 91.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon was 87. Under Siege was 92.
Yeah, yeah. Under Siege. God, he's just killing it.
And Under Siege, the villains, you know, Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Busey definitely outclassed the rest of the movie.
AC Ryback.
He was a cook. Like many of the other baseball movies we've done, this one has taken on a cult following. It's really gained a lot of steam over the years. People really go back and watch it.
This is my favorite one as a kid.
I was going to say, this is one that was quoted heavily as a kid.
Or Angels in the Outfield, and this beat Angels.
Well, I think, you know, in this one, I know it's going to sound odd, but like, you know, talking about Angels in the Outfield or whatever, but like, this one is like, you could almost kind of believe it. Mm-hmm. Be like, man, all right, maybe if I did like fall and I hurt my arm, like, could I be this kid?
Yeah.
Like, could I get a Pepsi commercial?
You would have so many professional pitchers intentionally breaking just their arms.
Yeah.
Let me clarify. Sandlot is still the best baseball film as a kid. But this one, when he's actually playing in the major leagues, you're like, damn, all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That is right.
I think this one was probably the most quotable. I mean, as far as like putting stuff into the zeitgeist, like, we want a pitcher, not a belly itcher. Like, that was, like, iconic.
Can you taunt a player that much actively on a baseball field? I mean, I know a lot of shit talking.
I think you can, but I think at the professional level, if you do it, you're going to get just hit with a baseball.
And that's the fans. But, I mean, can you say, like, the pitcher has a big butt? That seems like a poor sportsmanship to me.
Yeah. I think you can, but, yeah, you're going to get plunked next at bat.
Yeah.
Well, these days, it can be seen as a compliment. Pitcher's got a badonkadonk.
Pitcher's thick with two C's.
Speaking of which, did you see that there was a few weeks ago, there was a batter who got hit by the pitch and hit him in the ass, Oakland A's, and he was caked up.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
it bounced
dummy
off.
Thick.
I think I saw that.
It was like hit Teflon.
Yeah. It bounced right off, man.
I mean,
shattered the ball.
Yeah, the ball exploded like the natural. Like, he knocked the cover off the ball.
Like, it must be an omen. Yeah. I'm telling you, that pitcher clapped, and he pitched, just clapped right back.
Yeah.
Yep.
back. So what would you guys give this scale of 1 to 10?
This is going to be 10 for me. A lot of that's nostalgia talking, but it's up there. I think I gave League of Their Own also a 10, but yeah.
That's a lot.
This one, again, this nostalgia is working overtime, but I love it.
For a non-sports fan, you're ranking these baseball movies very high.
Well, that.
Well, they're all some of the best baseball movies there are.
Why were baseball movies so pervasive as children?
I don't know.
Football movies aren't that way.
Well, yeah. No. I mean, there are a ton of iconic football movies, but
Necessary Roughness.
Yeah, there are good ones, but it's like
Little Giants.
There were so many.
Rick Moranis.
Mm-hmm. So many good baseball movies. We had to leave a lot of good ones off.
We had to really choose for this series.
And I think with baseball movies, in any sports movie. The baseball movie, let's be honest, and I do love baseball. It's like, it is a slower sport. So there is much more you can do. And actually, you know, baseball is actually a chess game.
162 games.
It's like, you can do anything. But I mean, like, one of my favorite basketball movies is Blue Chips.
Oh, yeah.
But it was like, man, when you play basketball, That the game is a montage.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have time.
So, and
so it's like, yeah, so you're not even watching the game, but with baseball, it's like in Boulder, you can go to the pitcher, you can chat, you can do this, you can hear the announcer.
Yeah.
So baseball makes it, you can make it a movie.
Yeah.
But to me, everything else, it's like, golly, it's like.
Which, I always used to get Nick Nolte and Busey mixed up.
What's that?
Nick Nolte and Gary Busey.
You mean Nook Nolte?
Nook Nolte.
Nook.
But yeah, I mean, that's very true. In baseball, you have that interaction with the catcher, the pitcher, which is covert.
Yeah.
When you have, you know, the batter can step back, call timeout, talk to himself.
Well, like, what was it? What's the manager's name? I've already, or the actor or whoever it is. But when he goes out to Henry, it's just that he just stands over and it's just like, throw the heat. And it's just like, what? Like, yeah. I don't know why. That's awesome to me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, this. I think that's why baseball movies are the best, is because there's just so much it entails.
Yeah.
Well, and I think getting back to like real baseball, I think that's why a lot of diehard baseball fans are really opposed to what's going on with baseball these days.
Good Lord.
Is because the commissioner is trying to kind of take a lot of that stuff out of baseball because it makes it unapproachable for people who aren't traditional baseball people.
Oh.
So like they're trying to speed up the game. They're trying to take away like the long at bats. They're trying to take away, you know, sign stealing. They're putting in, you know, electronic receivers where the catcher can like hit a button on his glove and it goes to a buzzer in the pitcher's hat. So he knows what call is being signed.
Yeah.
Like it makes sense. It totally makes sense, but it also makes sense why, you know, watching some of these older movies and kind of seeing that like that interaction and seeing from the pitcher's perspective, seeing it from the team, you know, you kind of lose some of that nice, like iconic baseball
stuff. Well, poetry in baseball.
Yeah.
And I think baseball, like, I think I played soccer for like a season, but I'm a terrible asthmatic. But I think with baseball, let's be honest, it's like, even if you're a kid, everyone could play baseball. You know, you just put them out into the outfield. Put them. So it's like, I mean, almost every kid could play baseball if you were good or bad.
Yeah. And sister picked flowers in the outfield for two seasons.
You got the bat almost every game. And it's like, so it's like you were. Baseball, I think, was just, to me, when growing up, was like the sport you played.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you could play basketball, but that's five people. You could play, you could play football, but never really played football in the summertime.
Yeah.
But like baseball is almost year round now.
Yeah.
Like when you're younger, you could play spring, summer, fall.
Yeah.
So I think that's why baseball is just, at that time,
and it
was
probably
much, much more in your face.
Probably has that strong nostalgia too, because baseball is a summertime sport. And so you think of a kid like playing baseball, it means it's summertime.
Yep.
You're not in school, you know?
Yeah.
So good vibes.
Yeah. And I think baseball's really become like an American icon. Like it is the American sport because that was the thing. Like you pick up a stick and a ball and essentially you can play some form of baseball, which is the same reason that soccer is the most iconic sport around the world is all you need is one ball and you know, two people and boom, you got a soccer game.
Yeah.
But obviously baseball takes for fucking ever. That's why it's America's pastime. It's how you just pass the time.
How you pass time.
So I get the love for it. Like I think I've only ever actually been to one professional game, is that was the Rangers game.
That was a sweaty game, my friend.
Yes.
Travis, I do apologize for that because I never forget I gave you a lot of shit because you're like, Taylor, we got to go back. I'm like, Travis, the fuck we do. And I was like, we're going to the strip club or wherever we were going.
Yeah, it was a bachelor party. And I was like, I need to shower.
And then I was like, Travis, we're not going anywhere. And you're like, Taylor, look at me. And then Travis walked in front of me and I saw the amount of sweat on his body. And I'm like, we are going back to the hotel. And I apologize for that. We should not be in Dallas in August.
I was stepping down one of the aisles.
Todd,
and there
you
was
were
like,
there.
Oh yeah,
Todd, you were there.
Actually, Todd, I'm sorry, shared a room with me.
Yeah,
he was like, I think I made a sound with my ass that made Todd do a full body shiver and run to open the window.
It was a full convulsion.
Room.
Yeah,
yeah. I just remember Todd the next day was because he might have had to share a room with the two biggest snorers in our friend group. And
that's true.
I think Todd just said, I almost went to go sleep in the tub.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm going to the bathroom.
I ate Denny's every single night.
We know you did, Travis.
But at the Rangers game,
which I think their stadium is covered
somebody,
now.
I was getting either pushed or I was walking. Somebody, I don't know what the hell happened, but I stepped on a cup holder and shattered it.
Oh, yeah.
It could be heard around the stadium. but I snapped it off to where it was still like
it was
usable as a cup holder. So I used it as a koozie the rest of the game. And I took it home, and I think I tried to give it to Tim for
And you kept the baseball hat because we got free hats. It was like it was like a free hat day.
Oh yeah, I had
yeah
that somewhere
yeah.
too.
That oh, poor hat.
Yeah,
that poor Rangers hat.
Oh my god. Yeah.
That had a decent amount of salt.
Ooh, I think I might have hijacked that bachelor party because I was like, I want to go see a baseball game. Let's go to Dallas. That might have been on me. I was like, I don't think anybody else likes baseball, but I was like, you want to go see a Rangers game?
Oh, like, and that's the same trip where I stayed up until 4 a.m. the night before, ate Whataburger, and then the next morning on the road.
Had a chocolate milk?
two chocolate milks from McDonald's.
That was poot-tastic.
And I, like... Taylor's laughing at my gas, it, like, stopped about an hour and a half in. And the rest of the time, he was not amused.
Well, I just want to say the trade-in for your car just devalued every single boot. It was like that was a perfectly nice car.
It was paint like, peeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. And I was in the very back where you couldn't roll the windows down.
So. Todd, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that was express train to hell.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
Did you guys as kids ever play like the pickup game of baseball and accidentally hit the ball into somebody else's yard or into somebody else's window or anything?
Yeah.
We hit it over like fences. It was
I was like a little Frank Thomas.
I definitely broke somebody's window one time.
I never did that.
Yeah. I did as well. Yeah.
All I could do was hit. That was about it. And I could do it well, like, you know, every 8th time I'd be like, oh right, I hit real hard.
Which the rest honestly, of the time not the ball batting would average. Come
towards me, and I would both blink and my mouth would open, like I would flinch, and it would just go right past me. I couldn't field.
Yeah, well, yeah, not for everybody.
Yeah. So right now we're drinking beer. We each have a different beer. Taylor has the Lagunitas IPA. Travis has the Lagunitas Hazy Wonder. I have the Lagunitas Daytime IPA, which is a low carb, low calorie, lighter IPA. And then Sean has the Marshall, this Island Iceland Lager,
which local brew.
It's a Tulsa beer.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, started by a buddy of ours.
Yep.
So, and Tay worked there for a good long while.
Many of years.
Yeah. So, have to throw that in there. So, beer is obviously the iconic drink to have with baseball. So,
yeah.
Every podcast, we've enjoyed some beers along with our
Again, wine. Again, so. We've had 6 of these baseball films, and not once have you served me a goddamn hot dog.
Oh, you'll get served the hot dog later.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the question is, though, when you go to a baseball game, I know what I get. What do you get? Because I have a specific thing of what I get at every baseball game. Like, not necessarily beer, but food-wise.
Yeah. Oh, I do, too.
I am a hot dog, and I'm a peanuts guy.
And peanuts?
I'm a peanuts guy. And
peanuts.
And I'm about
peanuts.
To, yeah.
It's either going to be shaped like or sound like a penis.
Okay.
If I'm going to eat it, that's my rule.
And I will be honest. I take all the nuts. I eat the whole thing, shell and
you
all.
You eat the shell.
I'm a shell boy.
Yeah. Do you eat boiled peanuts or do you eat the roasted?
I don't know.
What does the shell do for your toots?
It makes it good.
Does it activate them?
It's going to be a lot of fiber.
Extra fiber.
The shell
to be fair, a peanut is a legume and not a nut. So you can eat the shell.
Yeah. No. I eat the shell. I did that way when I was a kid. And I was a sunflower seed fan, and I don't know why.
I think nowadays baseball stadiums kind of frown upon you just like spitting the shells or, you know, strewing the shells all over the place.
See?
But I think people still do it.
I was green.
Yeah.
I was being green really early on.
Yeah. You were just being environmental. No, I like a big hot dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a big bratwurst. Although my home stadium, the Houston Astros Minute Maid Park, the Juice, they have a Torchy's Tacos in right field. They also have killer barbecue. Yeah. Oh, it's dangerous for sure.
Dang. Yeah.
Crawford Box. It's great. The Carbach Crawford Box the Crawford Bach is a pretty prominent beer that's kind of made its way up here, but it's named after the Crawford Box, which is in the left field of Minute Maid Park.
Interesting.
Yep.
Which I'd been to the Astrodome. I never have been to the new one. As a kid, I went to the Astrodome and watched
it. It used to be called Enron Field, and then something happened. Yeah, I don't remember what.
Yeah, there was a controversy about Enron. Something went down. Something.
Yeah.
And then Minute Maid came in.
So. Yeah, there you go.
I think it was a bad social media post or something.
Yeah.
That
kind of stuff happens. A lot of backlash.
They got canceled or something.
That will happen.
Yeah.
But I would probably give this movie a 7 on scale 1 to 10 also.
Fuck you.
I mean, and for, again, like you say, nostalgia, I, you know, a 10 for that purpose. You know, I think me watching it in the theater and loving it as a kid, but watching it now, for pure movie purposes, it's a good time. It really is. It's a fun movie.
To you as a father, what's more disturbing? The idea of letting your son ride the L train to get down there or letting him be in a men's locker room?
Which is at the age of 12.
Yeah. Oh my God, so much dong in this movie.
Yeah.
Implied dong.
This has been another episode of 7 Movie Note.
P.S. I give it a 7 as well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
did everybody get the ratings?
No.
Yeah, no. No.
I thought everybody gave them.
No, I'm a 7. I'm a 7 as well because it's not my favorite. I love it, but it's not my favorite baseball movie. But same. I still love it. But it's not one, if it was on TV, I would probably watch it for about 15, 20 minutes and then maybe skip around.
Yeah.
So. You gave this a perfect 10, right, Travis?
10.
Perfect 10. I give it a 8. I'll give it an 8. It's very quotable. It's very iconic. And like we said, this was kind of the tail end of the peak baseball movie era.
Yeah.
100%.
And I think it influenced our childhoods across the board. I mean,
very much so.
You can't not have some amount of nostalgia for this movie.
Yeah. I think it's weird. Like, me not knowing anything or liking baseball at all, like, those are the movies where I'm like, yes, of course, it's a perfect 10 for this film.
You gave Sandlot, I think, a 10?
Sandlot's a 10. League of Their Own is probably a 10. And then Rookie of the Year. Like, I don't know. They're all classics in my mind.
Yeah.
I feel like if we were more prepared, we could have ranked the 6 movies that we watched and try to compare them. But I feel like we did a good job of kind of grabbing a full range of movies made for kids, movies made for adults, movies in the minor leagues, major leagues, women's leagues.
Yeah.
Kids.
Then I would go Sandlot, League of Their Own, and then Rookie of the Year in that order.
Yeah.
For me.
Okay.
I think I would do, that's tough. Maybe League of Their Own, Bull Durham, and Sandlot would be my top 3.
Honestly, I think Moneyball's probably
Moneyball's
top
great
one
too.
Or two for me.
But they're so different.
Very, very different movies.
And I think that's because all I can think about is nostalgia, but it was like, I would say Sandlot, League of Their Own, and then, honestly, it's kind of a toss-up after that, but those are like my top 2.
Moneyball's a great
You're good movie. Friends with Gary Busey.
Well,
my good friend Gary Busey.
GB.
Yeah, Gare Bear.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been another episode. Next series we're going to do is on wedding movies. We're coming up on wedding season, so we got a whole bunch of wedding movies we're going to do, and we're going to do a bunch of many podcasts analyzing Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is coming out in the latter part of this month.
And are we going to maybe do one over the entirety of Moon Knight?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Once the series concludes, we'll do a Moon Knight, which by the time this comes out, Moon Knight will have concluded.
We'll do a very special comprehensive review of Moon Knight. And we're going to do a little mini look at
Everything Everywhere All
Always.
At Once.
Yes.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes. We're going to take a little look at that. We watched that today, so we'll give you our thoughts on that. And then you can read my review, ToddWoffermovies.com, which will be out by the time that the podcast is
out. Definitely by the time
this comes out. Oh, and Todd Wofford Reviews has hit 10K, on the Instagram.
Get
on the old IG.
Yeah. 10,000 followers.
And then what was... we were getting all our nipples pierced at 20,000.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right. So.
No, I thought we were going to pierce each other's nipples at 20,000.
I'm going to do a detailed map of South Dakota at 25,000.
So yeah.
I don't know where we go from there.
I'm going to do a Prince Albert at 50,000.
So I'm going to do the Rand McNally on my back of South Dakota. So just keep that in mind.
Nice.
Yeah.
Full atlas, have roadmap and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So if we're ever on a road trip. So never mind the fact that I have a car with navigation. We'll just...
Is the Mount Rushmore in South Dakota?
It is.
Okay.
And I've been there.
Oh, we'll go there again.
Yeah.
Once you get your back tap.
I got a felt hat there.
Like a fez?
Yeah, it's fuzzy. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
This has been another episode of Cinema Pino.
We thank you all very much.
Listen, rate, subscribe.
Yeah. We've got Sean Jordan.
Hey.
Taylor Owens.
That's me.
Travis.
Hey.
And I'm Todd Wofford. And, Travis Budd.
Bravis Tud.
Mm-hmm. And we will see you guys next time. Thank you all very much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at ToddWoffordMovies.com.